Welcome to a special EduTech Guys presentation recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Enjoy the conversation.
Hey, welcome back to FETC 2022.
Yeah.
Really great to be here. Day three, very exciting. We've had a lot of great guests, and we have another great guest sitting in the chair in front of us, and we're going to let her introduce herself, tell us who she is, where she's from, and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Victoria Thompson. I am located in Tacoma, Washington, which is about 45-ish minutes outside of Seattle. My current role is that of a STEM integration transformation coach. So I work with schools across Western Washington to basically make sure that their STEM integration is sound and that project-based learning is being implemented in grades really K through 12, because my school is grades 6 through 12. So 6 through 12.
There you go.
She just had a revelation.
Right, yeah. There you go. I know, I've been talking all day. This is like my fourth session. So
Oh, my.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, when this is done, I'm going to Disney World.
There you go.
Hey, there you go. That's right. We should ask you at the end of that. Hey, after this, what are you
going
to do?
Hey, we're going to Disney World.
So let's talk about that. So just real quick, because, you know, like you've been talking all day. So give us a bird's eye view of those sessions. What our listeners can take from this that aren't here.
Right. So I actually had a couple different sessions. And my first one was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was called Using Data to Enhance Tough Conversations with Families.
Okay.
So that is all about, you know, if a kid wants to take calculus, but they're failing algebra two.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if a parent wants the kid to be in the honors program in third grade, but they might not be there yet. And of course, there's a lot of different factors that play into these decisions, right? Sometimes it's emotion at home. Sometimes it's what the teachers or the parents want. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the grade book doesn't tell us everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't tell us everything. So how can we utilize like our LMSs, our tech tools, our data tools to create documents and forms and just resources where if a parent's like, hey, I don't know why this kid has a C in the class. And you're like, oh, actually, here's why. Right? You're like, here's how I can show you. And not necessarily in a punitive way, because all of the resources I shared, it's all student-driven and student-curated. So that way, it really does put the onus on the student for the accountability there. And then my three today were project-based learning as a vehicle for equity for admin. That was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about, hey, if you want to do PBL in your school, here's how you can get started as an administrator. My second one is called Trust Black Women in Ed Tech,
mm-hmm.
With my friend and colleague Alicia Sewell. So it's all about us being black women in the tech field and just kind of like recruitment, retention, and also what that means in the space of education. And the last one I just gave is project-based learning as a vehicle for equity for educators. So that was more like teacher-based strategies and just like instructional practices that teachers can take with them.
Yeah.
And now I'm talking to you all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to be worn out.
Well, I think you're hitting on a very important aspect of technology, technology integration, technology rollout, especially over the last 18 months when schools, mm-hmm. Shut down, pivoted, trying to figure out what to do, and then started coming back to in-person blended or whatever that's looking like. And what that to me, what the key thing you're touching on is that equity piece.
Mm-hmm.
So what, keep it general for right now. Talk about that. Talk about what does that look like? What is equity, especially in terms of their digital learning?
Right. Well, I'll answer your question a little bit different because I'll tell you what it's not.
There you go. That's
all right.
So
yeah.
There are several schools that are like one-to-one, and they purport that as being equitable, but it's not. So the way that I think about it is like equality means that we all have a pair of shoes. Equity means we all have shoes that fit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So like if I have a size 8 and like somebody has a size 10, we both have shoes, but one person can't wear them, that's not fair. The same way where if I have devices, I might be one-to-one, but if my home has high Wi-Fi access, whereas you're maybe on broadband or maybe you don't have internet at all.
Right.
You know, before I moved out to the Seattle area, I taught in like rural-ish South Carolina, and many of the students I taught, like, they were getting water from wells.
We're from
Arkansas.
We're from
rural Arkansas. There are definitely Arkansas parts that have plenty of high bandwidth.
Right, yeah.
We're just not in those areas.
Yes. So you're very familiar.
Yes.
And I think when we went remote for the pandemic in a lot of different spaces, people didn't recognize that just having a computer isn't going to solve the issues, because if you can't even assign anything, if the kid can't get on. Like I remember when I was teaching during the pandemic, when I was at a different school, they wanted the camera and video on the whole time. This was an international boarding school. I'm like, so you want a kid to Microsoft Teams in from Japan for 8 hours, and you're not going to change the schedule. So it might be 3 a.m. in Japan, and it's like 12 p.m. here.
Right.
Like, it's just not equitable. So really thinking about these steps and processes where we know we're not going to make everybody happy, but we can certainly try, and we can use our brains and be sensible instead of just saying, here's a computer, we solved it. Now we're saying, here's a computer, how can we use it?
Right. You know, that's one of the things our district does that made me real happy. And this, we started before the pandemic, we feed every child, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and somebody would say, well, listen, that's the equity in it. Is that our children, just because they go home on a bus, doesn't mean they're going home to a house full of food.
Yes.
Or a house.
Yeah.
Or people. Or anyone there. And, you know, it's not just about the technology, but the technology, the pandemic brought that out.
Right. We had a moment in my school district, which I don't live in. So, like, I live in a different place than where I go to work. But in the district that I live in, the number one concern was, well, how are kids going to get food? Right? Because some kids get breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the school.
That's
and this
right.
area is not low income. Right? So even then, with all, like, the tech big wigs, right? Like, these people are making 150, 200K a year. The number one concern was, how are kids going to get food? And I think that speaks volumes to the equity issue, where it's like, you're saying a computer is going to fix everything, and yet you're worried about food, right? Like, something isn't matching up here, so how do we make it match up?
Right. That's really interesting. So in your sessions, how many aha moments did you have that you got to see with your own eyes?
Several.
Yeah.
The Trust Black Women in EdTech in particular, I think, was the most aha moments I've publicly seen with attendees,
mm-hmm.
because, like, we were just speaking truth, right? We were talking about how it's harmful when we don't have culturally responsive teaching, and how it's harmful when you don't vet, like, applicants for jobs, and just kind of go based off of nepotism or good old boy instead of, like, you know, looking at qualifications. We had multiple people that were sharing their experiences, and, you know, just so many, like, snaps and, like, head nods and amens. It was wonderful.
Right.
And then in the using data conversation that I did on Wednesday, because today is Thursday.
Yes.
Wednesday would be yesterday. I'm like, all the days are kind of running together.
Yeah.
But there were multiple aha moments when, you know, I just kept harping, when you put the onus on the student to be responsible and accountable for the data that they are producing, then it shifts from, well, why is my kid not da-da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. to, okay, here's what my kid is doing, now let's be solution-oriented. And a man actually came up to me afterwards and said, you know, like, I didn't really know what this session was going to be. You know, sometimes people are like, I don't know what it's about to be. But he said that it just makes so much sense. So, like, him hearing me say that out loud put it into perspective of how important it is for students to be involved in conversations around data.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big one.
Well, and so in that particular session that you had, and as you are, you know, working with your district, and you start to get other people from outside, you know, coming to you going, okay, you know, you brought this up, it's very new to us, how do we even get started going down that road? What's your response to that?
So I always tell people that baby steps are still steps. And I think some folks think everything with EdTech needs to be this big production where they're like, suddenly we're doing like storybooks with VR, and, you know, like, everyone's a coder by the time that they're 10. And that's just not the reality, right?
Right.
So just even starting small is a really good place to start. I know, like, substitution is not something that a lot of folks care for, but for some teachers that is scary, right?
Yeah.
Like, jumping from writing an essay by hand to a platform like Microsoft Word or like a podcast, for example, it can be challenging for them to understand the why behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that a lot of the aha moments with them does come from starting small. So it might start with, oh, like, Billy might take 3 hours to write, but when they do the speech to text, right, suddenly this is like a 5-minute task. Okay, so now what else can I do to get Billy to be into that? And that really unlocks a lot of greatness.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, besides your sessions, anything here really piqued your interest that you got to attend or see in the expo hall?
Yeah.
That's really got you excited?
Mm-hmm. I really like the Spaces booth in the expo hall. I'm a little partial because my friend Melody McAllister does work for Spaces,
uh-huh.
But they've got this really neat, I don't even know what to call it, but, like, you can create GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, but I thought it was super neat. And then also in the expo hall over by the EverFi booth. So they've got a lot of really cool curriculum, including like SEL and financial curriculum for kids. I mean, they're just so welcoming over there. So I always just advise people, check out their resources and check them out because they're all good people.
Yeah. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you, steal your ideas, be your best friend, what's the best way they could do that?
Yeah, so I'm the most active on Twitter, at Victoria the Tech. That's where most people find me, where my dog makes special guest appearances on my feed. And you know, it's like all things ed tech and life and bread and recipes.
Sweet.
And a little bit of everything. That's also where the link is to my personal website. So folks can find that out if they want to kind of see different sessions I do, because I go to a lot of conferences.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is pretty much where people can find me. And then LinkedIn, it's my full name. It's like linkedin.com/Victoria Rose, like the flower Thompson.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Victoria, thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You've been listening to a special EduTech Guys presentation recorded live at FETC 2022 in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening.